And we will continue with my guest, John Gray, when we come back. John says if you aren't healthy in your mind and body, it's hard to be healthy outside your mind and body. So if you feel sick, tired, and exhausted, and stressed, and generally unhappy, then this will cause relationships to feel the same exact way. How many have you felt this way, where you're tired and sick, and you take it out on the person that's closest to you? And that is not necessarily how we want to live our lives, especially if you have children or, you know, spouses. It's not good for communication. So a lot of what John Gray has done in counseling so many people over the years is he's found that most relationships go back to the place of resilience and love and feeling back in love with someone and peaceful with someone when their bodies and their brain chemistry and their biochemistry is balanced. So that's what we're going to continue talking about when we come back. This is Lisa Garr. You're listening to Coast AM. Welcome back. This is Lisa Garr, and we're talking with John Gray. He is the author of Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and we're talking about his latest book about staying focused in a hyper world. Now, let me ask you really quickly about the title, Hyper World, John. Do you mean that we're an overstimulated, over-technology society? What do you mean by hyper-world exactly?
It's the hyper-world that overstimulates the dopamine in the brain, and that then leads us to a tendency towards ADHD. And then we tend to medicate ourselves by other substances that will stimulate more. So it becomes a defeating cycle. So suddenly when faxes came in, we can all remember back when faxes, everything started speeding up. Then we started having emails. Then we started having internet. Then we started having social media, people spending hours in front of their computers. Then we started doing more and people working 23 hours a day. I mean, our lives are constantly being overstimulated as opposed to sitting on our balcony and kind of watching the sunset or having dinner with somebody and not having anything on TV. You know, this overstimulation, 24-hour news, this whole world we live in, it overstimulates us. So we don't know how to just simply relax. And, you know, some of the ancient traditions taught meditation, even when the world wasn't a hyper world. But one of the ways that the receptor sites, remember we talked about ADHD is the and all the brain issues, is the overstimulation of dopamine to the receptor sites. They naturally come back. It's called the upregulation of dopamine receptor sites. So it all becomes normal again when you relax and you don't stimulate yourself. You know, the most dramatic cause of ADHD and then any kind of brain problem after that is concussion. And when you have concussions, you have massive oxidative stress in the brain. And traditionally, the only treatment they have for concussion is relax the brain, don't watch TV, don't read books, don't do anything that stimulates you.
Neurofeedback,
And imagine trying to have an 8-year-old who just got a concussion from soccer who's now can't read and because he has this oxidative stress in his brain, and the doctor says you need 6 months of not doing anything. It's just almost impossible. But what you can do is if you supply the brain with the extra nutrition, it will upregulate much, much faster. But you do need to have some downtime to relax. And, you know, this is why men sort of have a built-in mechanism to rebuild their receptor sites after work, which in my books it's called cave time. Men will come and they'll just forget all the problems of the day. That allows them to relax. And in that place of complete relaxation, they're able to rebuild their dopamine and their testosterone. The dopamine receptor sites upregulate and the testosterone levels start to increase again if he has the alternation of hard work and relaxation.
How do women do that? How do we do that?
Well, see, women have evolved differently. Women lived in a world that was safe and secure. You have to realize men have always been on the outside protecting the female on the inside. Men went out and did the dangerous jobs. Women had a community. So women have adapted as a community. If you're sharing and you're communicating and you're interdependent, that's called relationship, then a hormone called oxytocin gets produced, and that's what lowers a woman's stress level. And when oxytocin is released, she returns to upregulation of dopamine receptor sites. So for men, it's a matter of completely relaxing and forgetting your problems, kind of downtime. And for women, it's a matter of feeling nurtured and supported in reciprocal relationships and feeling safe. And that's, of course, what's missing for women today. So, you know, women's risk of heart disease is now greater than men's. More women are getting cancer than men. Women's lifespan is now starting to get shorter and shorter than men because this new hyper world we're in is creating ADHD for women, and it goes completely undiagnosed because we have the male symptoms of ADHD are the most dominant ones, whereas the common female symptom of ADHD is feeling overwhelmed. Mm. When you feel like there's too many things to do, well, that's because you chose to take on too many things to do. You felt the urgency and need to do too many things, but you feel like you have to do it. And so the outcome of that is you're taking on so much, you don't take time for yourself. So that's the challenge for women with ADHD. It's really hard for them to come back and say, you know, what is it that I need? You know, that I'm going to go get a spa treatment, say. But they're thinking about work the whole time. They can't let it go. And that's because their body, the ADHD inhibits the ability to make the oxytocin because their brain is seeking out, it's thinking about, like a boy with ADHD, one symptom might be he's jumping from one thing to another, whereas a girl, she's focused on one person's need, another person's need, another person's need. And
all at the same time. Yes, absolutely. Now, what are some supplements that we can take? Let's talk about some of these supplements that could help us feel more relaxed, that could reduce the free radicals and the effects of the oxidative stress.
Now, I'm going to go through several of these that have actually been documented. Now, I have my own recommendations, my own protocols that have worked for me and worked best for the people I've worked with. And that's just my personal opinion, my personal research. But what I want to quote here is I want to change the thinking that when you go to a doctor, you go to any authority practically, and you say, oh, I'm going to do natural solutions, they're going to say that's quackery. And that you should just do the Ritalin and the Adderall, or you should just do behavioral therapy. And what I've done here is I've worked really hard to put 100 pages of references of scientific studies showing you that these supplements I recommend are that are available out there have proven to be equal to or more effective than drugs, which have known dangerous side effects. So this is like, let's shift gears for a moment. Just look. So one school, one of the lowest performing schools on the East Coast, decided that they were going to educate the children about diet, but lots of schools do that. But in this school, they decided to give them supplements as well. This particular supplement is by a company that makes a vitamin supplement called Potential. And that company, they put the normal vitamins, but they also put the special kind of vitamin C. They also put special kind of B vitamins, which are called methyl B vitamins, that the body can utilize better. They put taurine in it. Taurine is an amino acid that prevents dopamine levels from dropping suddenly. And so it holds your attention. And half of the little chewables, like a little grape candy, that half of it is something called OCPs. Now, OCPs are extracts of pine bark, of grape skins, and so forth. And for years, OCPs are known to help take away arthritic pain. The most commonly known ones on the market are grape seed extract or something called pycnogenol, which is pine bark extract. These are natural substances that are super antioxidants. And if you take pycnogenol or grape seed extract along with vitamin C, it increases the potency of vitamin C by 50 times.
Huh.
Biologically, the pycnogenol has these extra electrons, and so when the vitamin C is used up, an electron is added to it, and now it's an antioxidant again, and so it can keep recirculating itself. So
nice.
You have to combine these things. So another study, several studies showing vitamin C along with grape seed extract. But at this school where they were just giving these two pills, they've been doing it now 8 years, their school went from the lowest performing school in the East Coast to the second highest performing public school. And there's a documentary on it. I give links to that and so forth. And I give this to my grandchildren. This is a vitamin pill I take every day. I have lots of supplements I can take from time to time. But this is the one, if I'm traveling, I'll take. And it makes all the difference in the world because it has the vitamin C, it has the taurine, it has the OCPs, and it also has all the vitamins. It has the vitamins in a form, particularly the B vitamins or the methyl B vitamins that the body can utilize.
And this is called Potential?
It's just called Potential. All these things I mentioned, I have a 10-minute video on them, And the links are there in a free book for everybody. They can go online, they can go to my website, and they can get a starter book, which is basically I've got written the book, but the main things are what causes it and what are the solutions, and that I put in the starter book because that's what everybody wants to know.
And that's at MarsVenus.com, right?
That's right. People can go there. And it's just I give 10-minute talks on every single one of these things. It makes it real easy. But let's go down some more of the supplements that have been proven to reverse the symptoms of ADHD. So there's studies that have shown and from India that grapes, omega-3, DHA, has proven to be more effective. Using omega-3, also a study in Australia, was more effective than Ritalin and Adderall. Now, in America, it hasn't proven to be more effective. And that's because in India, where it was proven to be more effective, they don't have such a high sugar diet there. So one of the big inhibitors of some of these formulas to work, why they don't always work for everybody, is high blood sugar. If you have high blood sugar, insulin levels go high, and that inhibits the body's ability to make its own antioxidants. The antioxidant your body makes that is more powerful than anything is something called glutathione. And anything that inhibits glutathione allows oxidative stress to occur. So that's what we want to do is try to balance our blood sugar. And, you know, there's a German scientist, I just love his work. He's no longer alive today, but his name is Dr. Hans Nieper. And he was curing everything using mineral supplements. And one of his mineral supplements would balance blood sugar quite quickly. Now, John Robbins was talking earlier about, you know, you shouldn't eat sugar and you shouldn't eat any of this stuff. And but the realistic thing is it's everywhere and it's in everything. And what we should do is keep trying to be moderate. So my thing is be moderate, but supplement. You know, in terms of trying to get all the nutrition you want, you just can't get it out of your food. But you can supplement. That's why we need to take vitamins and minerals and so forth to supplement.
But can't you also balance your blood sugar by doing six small meals a day with protein in them?
Okay, so what will happen with six small meals has proven to be effective for people who are obese. Now, keep that in mind. This is when you're obese, it's proven to be, because what it does is it keeps your blood sugar up. The problem with that, and there's research backing this up, that's not in this book, but the research backing that up is if you eat every 2 hours, what happens is your blood sugar is always being stimulated. Insulin is always being stimulated. That will, over time, inhibit the production of glutathione, and it also inhibits the production of growth hormone. Growth hormone only gets produced, and that's what's, you know, regenerates your body is the growth hormone. Mm-hmm. It only gets produced 4 hours after a meal. So if you can't go comfortably without feeling hungry for 4 hours, your body's running out of growth hormone. Your muscle mass will start to become less. Your energy levels will start to drop, and you'll age faster.
What about eating every 4 hours then?
That would be fine. That's fine. And, you know, that's a 4 to 5. But when you're taking enough minerals and you're getting, your digestion improves, you normally don't feel hungry for 5 to 6 hours. That's the normal human. If you go to those countries where people are healthy at 100, they don't eat but just 3 meals a day. Their breakfast is very light. Lunch is the bigger meal, and dinner is less. And if you measure the natural cycle of enzyme production in the body, it naturally follows the sun. When the sun is highest in the sky, our body makes the most digestive enzymes. And when the sun is lowest, we make less digestive enzymes. So that's sort of the rule of thumb there. But because we tend to be compromised when it comes to blood sugar, when blood sugar drops, we all start craving more sugar. Because when it drops too far. And this one product called Membrane Support by Dr. Hans Nieper, what he did is he bonded magnesium, potassium, and calcium to a substance called AEP, aminoethylphosphate, which is what cells are made out of. And he bonded the minerals to that and helps to restore the cell's ability to utilize and absorb insulin so your insulin levels don't spike anymore. So that's a real key one for balancing blood sugar.
And that would be great also for it's reducing cravings as well.
It takes away the cravings. Mm-hmm. Eventually you can get to the place where you can just eat 3 meals a day. And occasionally you want to go without eating any meal a day. Everybody needs to do this occasionally is you get back into balance, and then what you do is you occasionally do a cleanse. And I give my regimen for easy cleanses, but it's a liquid drink with collagen and enzymes and probiotics and minerals. It's easy. You just and lemonade, of course, and aloe vera. Now, those mixtures just clean out the body of the extra estrogens in the body and toxicity in the body.
So these types of things can be done on a monthly basis or three times a year. How often do you do a cleanse?
It's everybody's different. For me, I do a longer one time a year. My wife does it before every season or before two seasons. It's spring and before winter time. In the old days, people used to do them always at the beginning of the four seasons. You can do them one day a month. You can do it. I did it for 10 years, 2 days a month, and then I started doing the 1 week ones at a time, a few times a year. It's a variety. I give these different protocols. They're all different protocols people can choose from. Every tradition is done fasting, and the only one that doesn't when people get sick is the Chinese tradition, and they have you just eat soup, which is another form of fasting.
Right.
I've done that one as well, and I love it.
It gives the body an opportunity to heal, as long as it isn't struggling, yeah.
Now, you can do all these things I recommend, and for some people, they work tremendously. Other people, they don't work as well, and part of that would be other conditions, like high blood sugar. You need to deal with that a bit for these other solutions to work right away for you. But a big one is over-the-counter drugs. I don't want to miss out on saying this, and I just want to give you the extremeness. When people see over-the-counter drugs, they assume that they're over-the-counter, so they're harmless. They're not harmless. The little drugs lead to the big drugs. And the number one danger drug to take is something called acetaminophen. Acetaminophen is in over 600 over-the-counter products. Just to know, it's in your cold medicines, your flu medicines, your allergy medicines, your pain relief medicines, and your fever suppressants. Things like Tylenol, NyQuil, Percocet, Vicodin. These types of drugs, what they do is they inhibit the liver's ability to make glutathione, and that is the number one savior for all of us. Glutathione is this, soon everybody will know about it. Right now, only 5% of the population is familiar with the term glutathione. But glutathione is something our body makes. You can also take liposomal glutathione, which can help dramatically right away, but you want to get your body making it on its own as well.
Now, is that in the membrane support, the glutathione?
Well, membrane support will help balance blood sugar, and then your body, that helps your body to make the glutathione. And then providing good digested proteins, cysteine particularly, is necessary to help make glutathione. But there's lots of things. I've listed over 18 things in book two of this book, but I try to keep it simple in book one. But the key to it is our body makes these things. What is keeping it from doing it? And this acetaminophen, I want to give you an example. The whole controversy over children with autism and vaccinations. And the reason that controversy exists is that some children don't get autism and they take vaccinations. Other children do. And there's no question that thousands and thousands of children after the vaccination got sick and they were lost. They didn't come back.
Right.
Symptoms just hit like that. And I've talked to hundreds of parents because I've spoken at autism conferences. I've met these people. I don't have an autistic child. I know them personally. They tell me their stories again and again. But how can you say the vaccinations are causing it when not every child is getting it? Well, we have different children are different. Every person's different. Some are more vulnerable based upon conditions that might have occurred in the womb, for example. And here's what I have seen to actually cause the autism, and this is on PubMed. This is just not highly publicized, but somebody did this research, and they showed that since 1980, we went from 1 out of 10,000 having autism to now, which is 1 out of 50 if you average it out. So now we look at that, and we see the scale going up. There's also the increased amount of vaccinations. How many vaccinations children are getting has also increased along that same scale.
Exponentially, yes.
Exponentially. Yes. And in Cuba, where they use the exact same vaccinations, they don't have an increase in autism.
We're going to find out why when we come back. Very interesting here about aspirin, acetaminophen, all sorts of different things like that, and how it inhibits our health in many ways, and the body's ability to really, truly heal from the inside out. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with John Gray after the break. Hi, this is Lisa Garr. Welcome. And my guest is John Gray. He is talking to us about his new book, which is Staying Focused in a Hyper World, Restoring Focus, basically. We're talking about natural solutions for ADD, ADHD, memory, and brain performance. We're going to talk when he comes back about vaccines, and we're going to talk about EMFs, and we're going to talk about all sorts of things that are inhibiting our ability to produce more antioxidants so that we can reduce the oxidative stress in our bodies. So we will come back when we will. We'll come back in just a minute with John Gray. Welcome back. My guest is Dr. John Gray, and we're talking about, well, before the break, we were talking about kids with autism being on the rise. Now, you had mentioned something about vaccines, and kids who get vaccines in places like Cuba do not have the same effects as kids who take acetaminophen after vaccines here in the U.S. Can you explain a little bit more about that, John?
That's the big difference. In Cuba, they're more homeopathic, and they recognize that fever is beneficial, and you cannot buy Tylenol there to suppress the fever. You have to get a doctor's prescription to get Tylenol, which has the acetaminophen in it. And as a result, doctors will not prescribe Tylenol to a child who has a fever as a result of a vaccination.
Why do you get a fever after a vaccine?
Pardon?
To explain why you get a fever after a vaccine.
The reason you have a fever, what a fever does, and first of all, let me mention that never in history has a fever caused any brain damage or any hurt to the body. We have a fever phobia, which has now been challenged and proven that fever is a good thing. It's sometimes uncomfortable, so mm-hmm. you can soothe the child during it, but it actually causes the brain to heal itself of oxidative stress. Fever triggers the body to make more glutathione. Fever also kills harmful bacteria, but not good bacteria. And fever also stops the replication of virus, which allows the body to build up its response to the virus that you just stuck in somebody's body. And so the point of a vaccination is you're supposed to put a bacterium or a virus into the body that your body's going to make antibodies to it. But if it's a dead virus or a dead bacteria, which it's supposed to be, theoretically it's supposed to be, then they have to trigger your immune system in some other way. So they put aluminum in it, they put formaldehyde in it, they put MSG in it, all known neurotoxins, and they were putting mercury as well, known neurotoxins, which trigger the immune system to produce antibodies. So your body needs the fever now to fight off the oxidative stress of MSG, of the formaldehyde, and of the
metals,
other neurotoxins
yeah.
they put in your system. And so if you don't have the protection, your body now has what's called oxidative stress that continues on.
So the body never gets a chance to actually develop those antibodies if you give the body the aspirin and lower the fever.
Well, it can produce some antibodies, but the body, what it doesn't do is it doesn't have the glutathione. Acetaminophen inhibits glutathione production in the body. It is the number one. There's 92,000 people last year went to the hospital due to accidental acetaminophen overdose because it's in so many things, and it can kill you. This is, you know, it's like right there over the counter, but long before it kills you, it inhibits your body's ability to make glutathione, particularly if you're using it at a time where you've just been injected with neurotoxins. It can have lasting effect. The idea of oxidative stress is once it gets going, it doesn't stop in a part of the brain. That then derails the development of that part of the brain, and other parts of the brain develop faster, which is often what occurs in autism. But we're just talking about autism here. What about all the hundreds of thousands and millions of children that are getting ADHD, which is a milder form of autism from my perspective, because it's the same condition that creates autism, Asperger's, OCD, depression, anxiety, and ADHD, and the different types of ADHD, hypersensitivity, hyperactive, hypercreative, hyperthinking, hyperintroverted, hyper all these different temperaments. It's the same condition that is caused by oxidative stress, which downregulates our dopamine receptor sites, and so we become hyper and seeking stimulation. If we're not always being stimulated, we feel flat, we feel bored, we feel anxious, we feel stressed.
And depressed
grieving,
and all those things, yeah.
This is an amazing thing, Lisa, which is UCLA did some brain scans on children who had lost their parents and parents who had lost their children, and they would put them in the brain scan and the MRI, and they'd show pictures of the child that they lost, and the parent would grieve, you know, and because it's a horrible, horrible thing to lose a child,
yes.
And they would grieve, and they found that the same part of the brain that gets activated with cocaine or Ritalin or Adderall or sugar gets activated when they're grieving. So you can actually become addicted
to grief. Wow, my God.
And grieving is a natural process, but if you don't have the right nutrients while you're grieving to upregulate the dopamine receptor sites, then it becomes an addiction like anything else.
The body wants more of what you give it. If it wants more of healthy foods if you give it that, or wants more of junk food if you give it that. Interesting.
And the key to upregulating the dopamine receptor sites is making sure you're balancing your blood sugar. That's one aspect. You're getting these other nutrients that I mentioned, enough omega-3. Your digestion is improving. You're taking digestive enzymes. You're getting some extra supplements. But the most important of anything I can tell people about today, where I've seen the most dramatic results, is the protection against oxidative stress through a mineral called lithium. And now, lithium is completely misunderstood in the public today. It's been misguided due to the medical community, which when they have somebody with a problem like bipolar, which is an extreme imbalance in brain function, tremendous oxidative stress, where they go way up and they crash way down and then they feel like suicidal. So this bipolar can be treated with lithium carbonate, and the symptoms of bipolar will go away. But because they're giving them toxic doses of lithium carbonate, the body has side effects, and that's often what happens is people go off their lithium carbonate. They can't stand the side effects, and then they're back to their condition, and they want to kill themselves. So lithium carbonate is considered dangerous and needs to be prescribed by a doctor, even though it's just a mineral. Now, Dr. Hans Nieper in Germany discovered that lithium orotate, now orotate comes from orotic acid bonded with lithium, becomes lithium orotate, a salt. It's non-toxic to the body, only toxic to the body in toxic doses. If you take 50 times more potassium, you'll have a heart attack. If you have 50 times more salt, you'll get
right.
sick. If you have
right.
50 times more magnesium, you'll die of diarrhea. Anything 50 times more than you need is toxic. So doctors prescribe toxic doses of lithium carbonate. If they were to prescribe lithium orotate, you could self-diagnose because there's no side effect. You could take small doses. You don't need very much. You need a very tiny amount.
So how much is
basically
small?
10 milligrams a day for most people if they're stressed will immediately remove the stress. It is for children with ADHD. It's the most powerful of all the supplements that I have seen to work. And what I have is the recommendation of lithium orotate. Lithium orotate is a known neuroprotector against oxidative stress. You can take a Petri dish of brain cells, add MSG, which is another one of these known neurotoxins that causes ADHD, and you add MSG to the brain cells. The brain cells get excited, which is why MSG makes we like it, because it makes food feel, taste stronger, more stimulating, and the brain cells prematurely die right before your eyes. They die.
Wow.
If you soak those brain cells in lithium, they don't get overstimulated and they don't die.
Now, does
lithium,
it calm you? Does it have a calming effect?
Yeah, complete calming effect. The way I describe its effect, it's different from anything. There's a lot of things like L-theanine is an herb you can take that will calm you. But you feel like you're a bit in an altered state. I don't want to say anything negative about it. I like it for people. It helps people, L-theanine. But it's an herb that creates a sort of medicinal effect, and you feel a little altered. With lithium orotate, you don't feel any change in who you are. It's just that you're no longer worrying. You're no longer overthinking. Your body just relaxes and you feel normal.
Do you still feel focused?
It's a wonderful feeling.
Is it still a focused feeling or is it a calm focus?
Completely focused. Completely. Mm-hmm. See, here's what, I mean, it doesn't do everything, but the function of lithium is to reduce the oxidative stress. And what typically happens is when oxidative stress is increasing in your brain, you find your brain is looping. So what you'll find is that if you have a worry, like, okay, I'm worried about something, you'll worry for a moment, and in a normal brain, it should be done. Okay, I did that. I thought about that. Now I stopped. But when you're looping, you'll think that thought again and again and again and again.
Interesting.
That's something that lithium will stop right away. I mean, it's amazing how easy this is. This is one of the cheapest supplements. And people say, why don't more people know about it? Because if they did huge double-blind studies and proved all these things I'm saying to you,
now,
what happen is the whole pharmaceutical industry, some of their biggest sellers, all the antidepressants, would not be needed.
Right. Absolutely. It would just cave the whole industry. I mean, what about things like EMFs and radiation? Do they also...
Okay, that's one of the 15 causes, okay, is EMFs. And for sure, EMFs cause oxidative stress in the brain. And this is proven. And the more and more research is coming out. And as I mentioned in the book, there's this one little section, which is, you know, that the phone companies refuse to say that holding a cell phone has any negative effects on you at all. However, we now know that if you carry it around your pocket, your sperm count dramatically goes down. That's proven. Now we have one-third to one-half of couples today can't have babies without going to a doctor and getting some kind of altered, help to do it. Never before did we have so many people needing help to get pregnant. So you've got just the cell phones in the pocket have proven to lower, big studies on that, lower the sperm count. Next one, and it's outlawed in certain schools in Europe because they've proven that it will actually inhibit the transfer of amino acids into the brain to produce dopamine. So again, that's another inhibited dopamine function, another aspect of it.
By having it up to your ear?
And now having it up to your ear, people are more sensitive. My head just heats up when you put it up to your ear. That's the worst. And now what the phone companies are doing in the instructions, although they say there's nothing wrong with the phones, they say make sure that you never put it closer to your head than 5/8 of an inch. It should always be 5/8 of an inch further apart. And that just changed recently. They made that change. And if you're wearing a phone, they say always make sure it's on the outside of your body with a clip that's not metal, so it's not conducting that to your body. It should be a plastic clip. And they're already telling you, we warned you against it. We didn't tell you how bad it is for you, but we warned you against it. I give the reference in my book to a whole documentary online, which describes what's happening with the smart meters. Smart meters are much, much more than just, when I talked to them, they said, oh, this is just like your neighbor calling up the phone company, the power company once a day. It's sending frequencies out all the time. And many people have to move from their homes and their neighborhoods because the Wi-Fi is so strong. And it is true, some people don't notice anything with it, and other people do. We have different types of sensitivities, and it's not with everybody. Some people don't notice anything. But,
interesting.
I have an office at my house. I wrote the book on the cave, so I have a cave. I built it to the hillside. And so there's dirt on top of my office here. And I put on Wi-Fi in my office, and within a minute, I get a massive headache, and I start to perspire. Now, when I'm outside and I'm out in airports and airplanes and other places, I don't notice the Wi-Fi at all because it's so diffused. But if you get concentrated Wi-Fi, and I'm not that sensitive to these things, massive headache because of the Wi-Fi. And you can, if you're having Wi-Fi in your house, you can turn it off at night. Just go and unplug it. That's it.
Ah, I see. So use those smart meters can determine how strong the Wi-Fi signal is going through your house?
No, the smart meters is how they're monitoring how much electricity you're using at your house.
Right, okay.
And they're constantly sending out Wi-Fi. It's not just a phone call. They're putting out huge amounts of EMFs.
And these are being put on the outside of our houses?
That's right. Now we have to pay extra, at least where I live, to not have it be on our house. But, don't listen to me on that one. That's a whole show you could do.
Wow.
And there's a whole documentary on it with 50 experts talking about the effects of EMFs.
Right.
That's one of the many things. So think of all these issues as, we're living in a world that's like a blender, and we're blending up all of these things, which is going on. A mother who experiences big stress during her pregnancy, the risk of ADHD in her child dramatically goes up. I'm looking here at one study, this year in 2014, we're talking about acetaminophen. Here it says that a study showing that mothers during pregnancy who took acetaminophen have a much higher risk of a child with ADHD. Mothers who get a fever during pregnancy, and most mothers, of course, when they get a fever during pregnancy, what are they going to do? They're going to take Tylenol. That's what doctors tell them to do.
Wow.
So another study said it increased the risk of ADHD by 400%.
Oh, my goodness.
In that study. This is like it's coming out more and more, but you won't hear it more than once in the news, and then it goes away. These are the biggest drugs in the world. And I'll mention the other number one cause for us older people. See, we've been talking a lot about for the younger people,
right,
but memory loss and so forth, is Lipitor. Now, finally, the FDA has had to put a warning on Lipitor saying that this may cause memory loss. And that is now a warning on it. It's taken 20 years to get that warning on it because there's been reported over and over Lipitor causing dementia. And why would it do so? Because like acetaminophen, Lipitor is a major reducer of glutathione production in the liver.
Tell us again.
Help the liver make the glutathione.
Glutathione, other than balancing blood sugar, it seems like it does a lot more. What else does it do?
Well, no, glutathione doesn't balance blood sugar. When you have unbalanced blood sugar, the high insulin levels inhibit your body's ability to make glutathione. High stress levels inhibit your body's ability to make glutathione. What glutathione does is it is the most powerful protector against oxidative stress, and it's also the precursor to making brain chemicals. So if you don't have enough glutathione, your brain starts making less dopamine and less serotonin and less GABA. So your levels of happiness and enthusiasm, they start to diminish as people get older. And every single person with Parkinson's, dementia, and Alzheimer's, and ADHD, and all the things I mentioned, depression, they all have extremely low levels of glutathione. It can be tested. You can take glutathione. More and more, there's different products coming out. I think the best glutathione to take is liposomal. As I mentioned before, the liposomal is assimilated by the body better. But also,
just because it's a fat, it transports through fat, is that right?
Yes. Instead of being water-soluble, it becomes fat-soluble, and it goes into the cells, and it's absorbed easier. And, you know, if somebody's actually, you know, concerned about dementia and, you know, losing their mind, basically, there's several liposomal products for 3 or 4 months I'd recommend, and they'll notice a difference in a few weeks. It's liposomal glutathione, liposomal vitamin C, liposomal DHA, that's the omega-3.
Is it good as a topical cream because then it's transdermal?
Well, there's transdermal too, but my research and my experience is that it's better to take it liposomal and you take it in your mouth. And there's also the B vitamins, which are so, so very important. And there's particularly liposomal methyl B12 and methylfolate. These are the key ones. And, you know, my brother, who has a far level of dementia, has been holding it off by taking high doses of methyl B12 and folate. And that's even prescribed by doctors today. That's probably one of the best, you know, medical suggestions. And I have to give them credit. They came up with it, which is high doses of methyl B12 and folate, folic acid, and along with NAC, N-acetylcysteine. Now, cysteine is the precursor to making glutathione. And I didn't know this back 12 years ago when I came up with the solution for my Parkinson's, but I was undenatured whey protein. So this is protein that hasn't been heated, and then it's still in a healthy state, and it's very high in cysteine, and it produces glutathione. It's proven now to increase it by 400%. Undenatured whey protein. And what I did without knowing all the research I know now, and most of this research has been done in the last 10 years, is you combine the omega-3, you combine the minerals, you combine the cysteine from the undenatured whey, you put in there high doses of vitamin C, and my superfood shake, I recommend goji berries, which are natural source. You know, you can't beat it when you can get this stuff naturally. And
right.
Try to get it naturally. But for a while, the extra supplementation is really good. And I still add a supplement called PS. PS is phosphatidylserine. It's another substance that's proven. It's what's in egg yolks. It's good for you. It's a B vitamin. And it helps. It's proven to be more effective than any of the ADHD stimulant drugs, just taking phosphatidylserine, or PS.
Well,
and that's part of my premix that I put together of a superfood shake that just has all these basic ingredients.
I'll just have what you're taking because you can recall this information so well. It's amazing at this hour of the morning. All right, so we are going to take another quick break. I promise we're going to get to callers after the break. We have a board full of people wanting to ask you questions, John Gray. So we will be right back. Thank you.